I know I don't have to tell you this, but this episode is only for educational purposes. It is not nutrition or personalized medical advice. We want you to get the most from the episode, but to keep that in mind as well. And we really hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the Quiet the Diet podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Shapiro. I am an integrative functional registered dietitian in New York City who has helped over 1,000 clients reverse their anxiety, approach their weight lovingly, and heal their digestive issues. I help clients to access liberating self-awareness through humor, compassion, and nuance. I lost 100 pounds the wrong way so that you don't have to. You know, without all the physical and psychological damage that comes along with it. Whole body health requires so much more than just going on a restrictive diet. The Quiet the Diet podcast offers a holistic look at what it takes to be your most vibrant, healthy self. I want to help you quiet the diet so you can focus on all the other parts of your amazing health and life. Welcome to the pod. I can't wait to explore the magic of functional nutrition and medicine together. It is always my goal on every episode of Quiet the Diet to understand what messages we're getting from the wellness space. One of the messages we're getting when it comes to social media, when it comes to practitioners, is that we need to kind of optimize our detox and drainage pathways. I've been seeing this so much online, and often what I'm seeing doesn't feel real, I guess is the word I would use. It feels like a lot of flagrant language without substance, and I wanted to bring you actual information on drainage today, on detoxification from none other than Leah Levitan of Lymph Love Club. Leah is not just any massage therapist. She has committed herself to fully understanding how the human body's ecosystem works. She is the founder of Lymph Love Club, an online lymph learning platform with go-at-your-own-pace courses, and the owner of Align Massage and Lymphatics in Austin, Texas. Her goal is to help clients and students heal beyond what they thought was possible by using a system of their own body that most have never heard of. In this episode, we talk about lymphatic massage, lymphatic drainage, and how our lymph system is so intricately involved with our nervous system, our immune system, and what it really means to detox and drain. We took all of the myth out of it and gave you the real truth in this episode, and I am so excited to share it with you. Enjoy. I am here today with the amazing Leah Levitan, and I cannot wait to have you here because I am so eager to not only pick your brain, but I'm kind of using you as a tool to help us myth bust a little bit of what's going on in the lymphatic world as lymphatic drainage, lymphatic massage has become so popular. I know you have been in this field for a very long time and you have tremendous insights. So Leah, I'm so excited to have you here today.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yay. Okay. Before we even get started, and just so you know, up until this point, they'll have heard your intro and a lot more about you, but I want to hear from you kind of how you got into this very specific massage space, detox space that is the world of lymphatics. I want to hear your journey a little bit of how you got here.
Yeah, well, I think one of the first things that started with the lymphatic stuff was when my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer back in 1998. She was doing a lot of holistic alternative things after she had a lumpectomy. So she was doing dry brushing and coffee enemas and juice fasting and all this stuff that, I mean, before the internet was really as like readily open with resources and alternatives and things like that. So we think coffee enemas are pretty far out now. It was really far out in 98.
Oh my gosh,
When I was like 11. But really, I think dry brushing was probably the first thing that I ever did for my lymphatic health. So it sort of started with, you know, mirroring her and being like, I need to take care of my body and, you know, natural.
Exactly.
But yeah, I got into massage therapy. I feel like I've always done some form of massage since I was about six. I feel like I've always just sort of laid hands on people. And so I sort of inevitably found that path after years of bartending and serving and slinging drinks and sides of ranch. I was like, I feel like I want to serve people, but in a different way.
Absolutely.
And I got into massage, and it was probably like 6 years before I found the lymphatic stuff, which was through Dr. Perry Nicholson of Stop Chasing Pain. So
Unbelievable.
Once I found that dude and like saw his passion, I was just like, holy shit, I've never seen anyone care about anything more than this guy cares about the lymphatic system.
Let's only reference icons in the health space as being dudes. That's hilarious. Like that dude really did it. That's awesome. Yes, exactly.
He did it. And he's been doing it for so long. So it's like, here I came, you know, with my online, because I found it and I felt like I was immediately taken with it. It was just like, I need to share this with the world. And I don't know how. And so I just like, you know, started exploring, like starting Lymph Love Club and sharing videos. Originally, it started with like sharing them for my clients, like as homework for them to do at home. And then, you know, the lymph stuff, it's just really trendy right now. So I think
you were ahead of the trend. I have to just give you full credit. You were way ahead of the trend, I feel. Even though, like you said, there was, even in 1998, there was talks and understanding of this kind of part of our bodies. And we're going to talk about what we think of as when people think of lymph fluid or a lymphatic system, what it actually is versus the public perception. But there was some of that, but now it's really hitting the forefront. And we see it, I think, a lot with dry brushing, which is now becoming more, I guess, mainstream popularized, although many holistic and Eastern practitioners have been using dry brushing for the entirety of their lives, of course. But in America or in Western culture, I think it's becoming more popular in very recent years, it seems like.
Absolutely. And in the US specifically too, because it started in Europe and they've been doing it in Europe for a really long time. And then it kind of spread to Brazil and sort of led to other alternative like modalities like Brazilian lymphatic, which is definitely different than the type of training that I have, which is in the Botter method. And yeah, so it finally got to America. I think we're always just a little late.
You know, a little being like 50-ish years, a little bit, just a tiny bit late, just our lifetimes late. Otherwise, yes. So I think for a lot of people, the lymphatic system or lymph fluid is very commonly misunderstood. And the context we usually see it in is, again, these massages or things like that. On the most basic level, Leah, can you explain to us what is lymph fluid? What is our lymphatic system? What does it do? And visually, how can we understand it?
Absolutely. That's a really great question too, because I think a lot of people aren't quite sure because they call it the invisible system and it feels very invisible sometimes. So everybody's familiar with their cardiovascular system. The other half of that vascular system is going to be the lymphatic system. So the cardiovascular system has the heart that pumps blood to and from our tissue, delivering oxygen and nutrients, and it uses arteries and veins. So for the lymphatic system, it is primarily water, and it carries the immune cells of our immune system. So it transports and stores these cells. And the fluid that flows through these little tunnels that get all over our body, they're pretty much everywhere except our hair and our nails. So we're pretty rich. We're pretty saturated. This stuff is, it's flowing in and out of these lymph nodes. So we've got these little tiny organs of our immune system, these lymph nodes that are clustered in our major joints. And so the fluid is really picking up the things that don't belong in our body. These can be environmental toxins, dead, damaged, dying cells. It's starting there at the cellular level. So as blood is kind of pushing all this stuff in, what happens to that stuff when our body's done with it? The lymphatic system kind of comes in, sweeps everything up, sends everything through the channels, and it goes through these lymph nodes. It'll go in one side of the lymph node, out the other side, and it'll do this hundreds of times throughout the body, until it gets recycled back into our bloodstream as plasma. Not all of it gets recycled, but a large majority of it does. So what doesn't go back in as plasma is actually eliminated from the body. The lymphatic system does not detoxify our body. It is actually, you know, that is up to our liver, our kidneys, our colon, our lungs, and our skin. So
that's hugely important, what you just said. So my vision of what people think happens, first of all, On the lowest understanding of detox is that you do a juice cleanse and then it just soaks up everything bad and pushes it out of your poop. Like that's my non-scientific thing that I see the most. Then people do have this understanding that our liver and our kidneys have a huge detox capacity and are hugely important in this process. And what I think people think is, okay, our liver will get rid of toxins or something like that. As we know, it's a much more detailed repackaging and conjugation process and all these, you know, different steps that it takes basically to neutralize toxins and then eliminate them. So where I'm hearing lymph comes in is if there is recirculated toxins or something like that, is it that some of those toxins can leak into the lymph, or the lymph is actively picking up the debris from that process, basically? Because it's not an inherent part of that process, like you're saying. That's really the recirculation through the blood. But tell us about that little scientific detail and nugget.
Yeah. So it's like the lymphatic system has a special relationship with each and every detox organ. So it's like it's working with the kidneys to maintain fluid levels. It's working with the liver because we've got a special type of lymphatic tissue inside of our intestines that actually deliver the digestive fats from the foods that we eat. So there's like a really cool relationship there. But
it's like it's an accessory system, but one that is extremely important. It's not what you would, like you said, it's not the site of detoxification, but it is essential for detoxification too at the same time.
Oh yes.
And we're going to talk all about that too. So when people are saying lymphatic drainage, what do people think they're saying, and what is actually meant by lymphatic drainage?
Well, drainage is happening all the time. Every deep intentional breath that you take with your diaphragm is changing the pressure in your abdomen. We've got this large lymphatic structure. It sort of starts with like how lymph is formed, like in that capillary bed. It's sort of like water falls in nature, you know, rain comes down and it sort of gets delivered to little creeks and streams that turn into larger rivers that, you know, eventually end up in the ocean. So our ocean is in our abdomen. And so that umbrella shaped diaphragm is sort of gently stroking the front of this like giant duct that's like attached to the front of our spine. And so drainage it's always happening. Our lymphatic system is never not working. If it wasn't, we would be dead. But it does slow down. And the viscosity of our lymph is really important too. Our lymph, the clear fluid that sort of flows through the system is primarily made of water. It's very similar component to seawater, actually. It's salty and it's full of nutrients. And there's even some hormones in there. And then it's got all this like garb, you know, that we're trying to flush from the cells. And when our detox organs are not functioning as optimally as they should be, things are lagging and things are not getting out of the lymphatic system. Things are not getting detoxed by the body. So they're just sort of getting recycled back in there, and the lymphatic fluid will pick it back up again. And it's just this like domino effect of dysfunction. Like primarily the people that we see in my office in Austin, they've got all these chronic issues. A lot of them have never heard of their lymphatic system. They've never heard of lymphatic drainage. So it's a lot of education, but the drainage aspect of the lymphatic component it's always happening. It's just like a physiological thing. But manual lymphatic drainage, the type of light skin technique that we use and have used for the last 90 years, it's not new, but the last 90 years, it's using the anatomy and physiology of the lymphatic system and the power of our nervous system. So it's both the therapist moving this lymphatic fluid that sits just beneath the surface of the skin, and we're using the client's breath, and we're using the nervous system as like a propeller to sort of dilate the lymphatic vessels to increase that lymphatic flow, that drainage. But that's sort of like the differentiator between like drainage and detox. It's like we can drain stuff, but can we actually eliminate this shit from our body?
Exactly right. So. And also detox is a highly nutrient dependent process. The organs that detox require a very high nutrient demand. So oftentimes, also, as you're saying, components of our lymph are minerals. Like if we don't have those minerals or those vitamins or amino acids to be able to pursue the detox process, what I'm hearing is you're just going to be recirculating the same stuff anyway. So you need detox processes to be in place, and you need drainage to be in place, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it has a lot to do with our sedentary culture.
Like
lymphatic system doesn't have like a pump per se. It does have like a pulse, but it's very slow. It's like similar to the cerebral spinal fluid. It's like 10 to 12 beats a minute. Our heart is like, the heart is the pump for the cardiovascular system. So the pump for the lymphatic system is primarily muscle activation.
And so, would you say that a mistake people might be making in when they're detoxing from mold or doing any of these fun parasite cleanses, all these functional medicine fun things that doctors are really, I think, pushing sometimes unnecessarily and too hard. Would you say that movement is one of the most important components when you're engaging on a detox, or, you know, especially a medical level detox? Would you say movement in general is important.
Yes, absolutely. And it doesn't, like, movement and exercise are, I don't mean for those terms to be interchangeable. Like, exercise is 4% of our day. So what are we doing the other 96%? Exactly. So movement really comes down to just moving the body in natural ways that it already does. Breathing is a movement. Doing chores is a movement. And movement can be really hard for people that have chronic conditions. So it's one of those where you have to take the pressure off yourself when you're in that healing process to be like, I'm not getting in the gym. The gym isn't happening. So how can I show up for my lymphatic system and not feel like I'm already not doing enough before I even start? So
absolutely. And it's also, it's a really tricky game with movement when it comes to chronic illness, because especially I work with, you know, I've had personal experience with and work with MCAS clients, POTS, dysautonomia clients. And of course you do. And we're definitely going to talk about that too, especially because of long COVID. I think a lot of these conditions have cropped up a lot, and it's really relevant to the work that you do. So I definitely want to talk about that too. But movement can feel bad, but you need it kind of when you're in a state of chronic illness. So it's like you sometimes have to, like, a little tiny bit push past what's comfortable, and then it feels better. But that doesn't mean lifting a bunch of weights when you can't stand up because you're so dizzy. That's not what we're talking about. But I totally agree with you that making movement a part of your life is much more essential almost than making exercise a part of your life, especially when your priorities have to be set there. They have to be, like, set the right way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like I recommend to my clients most often would be yoga, because yoga's designed to be simple. And I feel like Eastern medicine, they sort of, like, knew what was up before they could even quantify, like, how things worked. Right. So lymphatic, like, yoga really dilates our lymphatic vessels because it puts us in the parasympathetic. And then we're very tied to our breath with this. So yoga, walking, swimming, I mean, even just being in the water and walking underneath is going to be really helpful, because the weight of the water almost mirrors the pressure of our lymphatic system. So it doesn't have to be like big, loud, hard, complicated movements. You don't have to, I don't know. Doesn't have to be hard.
It doesn't have to be. And also, I think, like you said, walking and yoga and these things, which are, you know, I have a lot of clients who are very aggressive type A New Yorkers. I love them. It's, you know, I understand them? I understand them better than anyone. It's the life I've lived my whole life. But I think for them, they feel like if I'm not doing hardcore exercise, I'd rather just do nothing, because it's like they get in their head about it a little bit, where it's like, what's the point of walking? What's the point? But the point is, like, that's kind of where the magic sauce is, to be honest with you. Like, you actually have to do movement outside of just exercise. Thank you for that differentiator between movement and exercise too, by the way.
Powerful. I've got something to add to the walking aspect. So just by design, we've got these lymph nodes are clustered in, like, our armpits and our hips. And so it's like when we move, it's designed to sort of, like, push and pull and squish and mush these lymph node clusters. So what happens if we sit at a desk all day and we never raise our arms above our head? What happens to those 30 to 50 lymph nodes in each armpit? They're not really getting the nutritional movement of natural movement. So
I love that.
Just important. It's important.
It is. Yeah. And I think, you know, what's so powerful, and I know you must notice this in your clients too, is that I'll have clients, like, kind of push themselves to just go on little walks. Again, nothing dangerous, like little things like that. And then eventually I'll notice that even during sessions, they're kind of moving a little more. And I'm like, that's interesting that your body starts to ask you to do those things after a little bit of time. Like, movement begets movement. Like, I think that's what's really important, is that, like, the more that you move, the more that your body will invite you, I feel like, to move more. Do you agree with that? Have you seen that?
Oh, absolutely. And in myself as well. It's like, exercise is something that's always been sort of hard for me. I'll be in the zone, and I'm, like, doing all the things, and I'm showing up, and I'm like, yeah, I'm getting a six pack. It's happening. And then for whatever reason, I like get half a six pack, and I'm like, all right, cool. I'm like, I'm good. I can skip a workout today. Like, I look good. And then I'm realizing as I'm, like, aging, I'm like, ooh, I gotta like stay on top of just functional strength for my job, because it's physically demanding.
It's, like, extremely physically demanding.
It you forget about the like physical aspect of like what we want our bodies to look like or what we think our bodies should look like from a cultural perspective too, it's like different everywhere you go and it's just wild. So it's been a mindset shift for me about like what movement actually is, exactly. What it's for, and what we were born to do, you know, it's what our body is designed to do. And it feels like it's like honoring that process. But yeah, definitely feel the struggle.
We're all in it together. Come on. We're all in it together. What I see with a lot of clients is that they will have gone to these functional medicine doctors or allopathic doctors, and they'll go on these really hardcore detox protocols, and they don't have the movement in place or they don't have the nutrients in place. And then they get very sick. And, you know, a lot of times doctors will say, it's just a Herx reaction. It's a Herxheimer reaction. You have to sit it out. And I'm like, but if you don't have the nutrients to support detox and you don't have the movement to support detox and you don't have the flow to support detox, you are going to keep recirculating those toxins and you are going to feel ill. And it is because you're ill. It's not because your body's fighting through it, which of course a Herxheimer reaction is real and a detox reaction is real. But can you speak into that a little bit too, of like maybe people you've seen limited by lack of lymph flow or lymph movement in their healing journey when it comes to detoxing specifically?
Yeah. And I think it just goes back to that piece of people feeling like they can't do the things that society's telling them to do, which is exercise. So it's really one of those where I'll work with clients to be like, hey, let's get you some tools. You know, I'm not a huge fan of tools, but when it comes to chronic conditions or disabilities of any kind, it's like no shame in using things that are going to support your lymphatic health. So usually that's going to be like a vibration plate.
I was going to ask you about vibration plates. I'm so glad you said that. I have one. I want to hear if I should be using it or not.
Well, hell yeah, you should be using it. It's great. Our cells love vibration. They love it. It's the whole thing with like sound healing. Like I'm going to be incorporating sound baths and tuning forks into my practice soon.
It's beautiful.
And it's because I've experienced that and felt the vibration and just been like, damn, like the vibration of our cells, which are, you know, let's just talk about the water component of our body. We're mostly made of water. And whenever you put vibration and water together, some really, really cool shit happens. So it's just one of those where, yes, vibration is definitely, it's a movement for the cells in our body. And movement is information to our body. So it tells our cells how to respond and how to act based on the mechanical forces that we place upon our body. So vibration is a great option.
I want to get really nerdy for a second. You mentioned something about dilation before of our lymph. Mm-hmm. So in people with POTS dysautonomia, one of the issues that they have is too much vasodilation without vasoconstriction. But our blood vessels, like you said, have a pump. It's a little bit different. Is there ever too much like dilation of our lymph fluid, or is it that your goal is always to get things kind of moving more flowy and more freely? It's a really weird question. I don't even know if it is easy to answer.
It made sense. It made sense. So we do have a lot of like POTS and EDS folks that come in, and usually they'll have both. And POTS has like such a huge range, right? There are people that really can't even go from sitting to standing without feeling like they're going to fall down, to people that live like a pretty relatively normal life. And I have the whole spectrum of those clients. I'm like, cool. I got people where I'm like, you just take your time getting up, because you might feel lightheaded after lymphatic drainage. But the lining of lymphatic vessel, there's smooth muscle. So it's like the same muscle that's governed by the nervous system. And so it is very reactive. Lymphatic vessels are structured like this. They're not like veins, but they have a similar component where they have these little like back flaps that sort of prevent backflow. So lymphatic fluid only flows in one direction, or it really only should. So we've got these little flaps that sort of keep them from going backwards. And there are these little functional units that sort of make up lymphatic vessels. And that's where they're different from veins. And so it's like these little, I like to do this. It's like these things contract and push this lymphatic fluid along. And because it's governed by our nervous system, it just, you know, opening and dilating things is never going to like over flood the system. at least for people that have like a complete and functioning lymphatic system. There are conditions out there known as lymphedema, and this is dysfunction of the lymphatic system, whether it's maybe damaged or people were born with malformations or they're missing parts or they have too many parts, and that can really impact our lymphatic flow. And a lot of people have this condition, and it's not very well known.
In diagnosing lymphedema, is it something where they would actually be able to identify what parts of their lymph system aren't working, or is it just the appearance of edema that is the diagnostic criteria?
Well, it's really hard to get a diagnosis because most doctors don't know what it is. They've got these patients that are coming to them, they've got fluid retention, and they don't know why. They're doing all these tests, and they're like, well, I mean, your heart's good, so it's not really your heart. It's not, you know, they're... your blood pressure's good. Everything's good.
Right. So, and that's important. That's the question I'm also kind of going at in my head is, of course, people who have dysautonomia of any kind, which just, I guess, walking it back for people who are new to this phrase, would be dysfunction of your autonomic nervous system, which we see dysautonomia symptoms very commonly related to heart rate changes. So there's this really interesting thing where people who have dysautonomia or POTS syndrome, which is thought of as a potential kind of downstream effect of long COVID or things like that, they have we would call it like circulation, blood flow, blood pumping issues, essentially. So what I'm angling at with Leah and what she's explaining so beautifully is the blood flow issue the same as the lymph flow issue, basically? And that's what and understanding that people who do have POTS and dysautonomia, definitely if there's any blood flow changes, do get symptoms. So I'm assuming that in the beginning of their work with you, they might feel a little bit weird and like you'll notice that and know that just because you're changing fluid flow in the body.
Yeah. Well, we're also lowering the blood pressure too. I mean, just because we're switching to the parasympathetic and people are getting in that rest and digest. It's so interesting to hear people's stomachs just start digesting their food. And, you know, there's a lot of like gut magic to the lymphatic stuff. It's heavy concentration.
Gut magic and nervous system magic, from what you're saying. Tell me really briefly, because we know that the nervous system, or if you've heard other podcasts of mine, we would know by now that the nervous system directs smooth muscle contraction, the nervous system directs blood flow, the nervous system does all these things. Tell me more about how the nervous system interfaces specifically with the lymph system.
Well, that's a really great question. There's still so much for us to learn.
Oh my gosh.
There's a lot of like immune surveillance and immune system stuff that's governed by the nervous system that we still don't understand. We have a lymphatic system in our brain and we're like kind of peeling back the layers and learning more and more that there's like separate components. There's the lymphatic system and then there's the meningeal lymphatic structures and how lymphatic fluid is like cleaning our brain. And how it goes, you know, flushes out the cerebral spinal fluid and just our nervous system. Like there's lymph at work there and we still haven't even put our finger on it. So what we do know is that, our lymphatic system is always responding to our thoughts and our emotions. I mean, just as our cardiovascular is. So they kind of work, you know, they work in concert and it has a lot to do with protecting the body. So the immune response, the immune surveillance, and then, functioning with whenever we've got some sort of like physical or emotional trauma to the body.
One important aspect of health that comes up in almost every Quiet the Diet podcast episodes is the relationship between our gut and our brain. We refer to this oftentimes as our gut-brain axis. And for a long time, we've understood that IBS symptoms are related to the stress that we experience. I'm so excited to talk to you today about today's podcast sponsor, Nerva. As you all know, I'm on a mission to share any whole body strategy to help manage and, when possible, reverse chronic symptoms that I've seen work in my client population. Both my clients and also our amazing lead dietitian, Nikki, have experienced tremendous benefits from Nerva. Nerva is a gut-directed hypnotherapy app, which means that while you're at home, you can listen to hypnotherapies that are specifically designed to help manage IBS symptoms. This mobile app has helped over 100,000 IBS patients address the miscommunication between the gut and the brain. gut-directed hypnotherapy has been proven to work just as well as a low FODMAP diet in managing IBS. Our goal with our clients is always to reduce the need for long-term elimination diets and provide any strategy that might be supportive that's low risk and high efficacy. And that's just what Nerva is. So with their 6-week program of listening to gut-directed hypnotherapies from an app right from your home, they've seen incredible success in reducing IBS symptoms. Instead of targeting stress from a meditation perspective that's more open-ended and not as targeted, Nerva has carefully curated and crafted these research-driven hypnotherapies to specifically target IBS-related, nervous system-related symptoms. As a Quiet the Diet listener, you are eligible to have a 7-day free trial of Nerva, which you can see down in the link below. I couldn't recommend Nerva more for our listeners and our clients. It has been so effective in helping to manage IBS symptoms and for our clients to have something that is able to be done from the comfort and safety of their homes is really a game changer. So for that reason, we are extra excited to have Nerva as our sponsor this season. Absolutely. So it's like, you know, people feel a lot when I'm super, I would say pushy with clients that they should get lymphatic massage. And if they're in Austin, there's my number one practitioner sitting with us right now, I would recommend, but also virtually you work with people in a course. And then of course, we're going to talk about that too. But I have pushed clients before to get lymphatic massage when I do also feel like spiritually or physically, they're holding on too much. That's the most high level, non-scientific way of explaining it is like, you're just holding on to everything. And it's like, sometimes just the catalyst that the body needs to start to release. I want to know I know you've experienced this in client sessions, but can you like feel that release? Is it something that's tangible for you or is it more spiritual, intuitive?
It's both. So just in regards to what the client might be feeling, lymphatic work is really subtle. It's very gentle pressure for the most part. And so what people usually feel is just like their sinuses are draining. They're swallowing a lot. Their stomach is making these noises. Maybe they just feel like a little flush or clearance of fluid. Maybe it's warm. Maybe it's cool. It can be both. If somebody's got inflammation in their legs, when we flush it, that's going to be a cooling sensation. Sometimes people feel like tingling, you know, when lymph is forming. So that's pretty cool too. But for me, yes, it's so crazy. When I first started doing lymphatic drainage, it's kind of like when I first started doing massage. You don't have anything to compare it to. You just put your hands on somebody and you're like, is this muscle tight? I think it's tight. I've probably touched about 5 bodies and I think this is pretty tight. But then 5 becomes 10 and 10 becomes 100 and 100 becomes 1,000. And once you've touched 1,000 different bodies, it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to be like, okay, I know what I'm feeling and my senses are heightened. So once I started working with the lymphatic system, I had gotten there with the muscles and the fascia and all that stuff. But then it was like a whole new set of senses to start working with the lymphatics because the pressure is so light. So now I feel like if I touch my fingertips just barely together, I can feel the pulse of my heartbeat and it's so fucking strong. It's really strong. So it's like, it's almost like a little too sensitive. Just like, yeah. Very sensitive to sound. It's very interesting, but yes, I can feel fluid. I can feel sometimes this is especially common in the face and the abdomen. So where I feel it the most is I'll be working underneath the cheeks and there's a little, you know, there's a little cavity there. We've got a lymph node there and the trigeminal nerve kind of comes out of a hole, like some holes there. And so I will usually like place my fingers on people's cheek there and I'll just apply enough pressure and just kind of like wait there and let my fingers like sink into the tissue. And then all of a sudden, like the bottom will drop out and it's like almost like a toilet flushing or something. You just like my fingers just go whomp, like into the tissue even further. And I'm like, okay, we did it. So it's pretty wild. And the spiritual aspect is, I don't know. I've never had any training in energy work, but I know it's real. I feel it.
Oh, yeah. It's just as scientific as the physical in my end. Energy medicine is so well studied at this point that it's so interesting because I knew you'd have that answer, that there's an intuition aspect of this, because while you can feel it, this is a deeply energetic exchange that's going on too. And energy is, in my scientific opinion, quite tangible also. So you're having that physical that you can really feel and the energetic that you can also feel during it too. So it has to be I'm sure it's a bonding experience to give lymphatic massages too.
Yeah. The therapeutic relationship is really sacred. It's great.
It is. It's really powerful. So, okay. You had mentioned fascia before, and I just want to roll back to that. When we think of classic, we're rolling because we're moving our limb. This is on YouTube, so they will say, and we can leave that line in so that people will actually go watch the YouTube. When we think of classic, like understanding of movement of the body and even chiropractic medicine and things like that, fascia kind of comes up. Muscle always comes up. Differentiate fascia for us from, again, what is commonly understood and what you think of when you hear of fascia.
When I think of fascia, I think of pantyhose and oranges.
Please go on.
Do tell. Can you expand into that? So if you look at an orange, you know, it's got this outer layer, and then you open it up and there's this white fluffy pith, and then you pull out each individual wedge and you pull the skin off of those wedges, and there's individual sacks of orange juice. And this, like, we are nature. We might live separate from it, but we are nature. And so this fascia, it creates a level of separation, but it also holds everything together, and it's the organ of form. It gives our body its shape. It is hardwired to our nervous system. It contracts and relaxes upon our thoughts and emotions. And it's sort of the environment where our lymphatic system lives. So it's like suspended. It's like suspended in this matrix and just sort of holds, you know, it holds everything in place. Nothing in our body is ever just like sloshing around like helplessly. Everything is so well organized, and it's just, it's an incredible design.
The best design. The most complex design of anything ever. So,
oh, and then the pantyhose.
Oh yeah. I got oranges. Wear pantyhose. Tell me.
I got the oranges. Okay. So with the pantyhose, it like, because our fascia, it sort of dictates our shape, and our body is never out of shape. It simply becomes the shape of our environment. That is a quote by Katie Bowman. She's a human biomechanist. She just like studies the movement of living organisms. It's so cool. She's written so many books, and I've learned so much from her. But she doesn't actually do the pantyhose thing. It's just like something that stuck with me from school. But it's like when you get a run in your pantyhose, it just kind of keeps going. And so this three-dimensional matrix that makes up our fascia, I do myofascial release. There's no oil, there's no lotion. I see so many weird videos of people calling something myofascial release, but I think John Barnes' old school myofascial release is the one and only, if you're looking to get more education on that. But yeah, it's like this seam that just sort of like goes somewhere else. It just keeps on, you know, just keeps tightening. So there's just these like fascial lines that sort of give our bodies strength and flexibility. And so, like, for example, if somebody has like a shoulder issue, say they have like a mastectomy scar, well, you know, their shoulder isn't really going to be able to move as it used to because that scar tissue has created a break in that fascia. The body kind of plastered it all back together, but it isn't the same. You know, these fibers aren't running alongside each other now. Now they're sort of scattered and sporadic. And so that really impacts the movement in the rest of the body. And so that's just like one example of how
really powerful.
Our stuff gets all hitched up. And it, yeah, just like, it's like pantyhose.
And of course, it's just like pantyhose and oranges. I think also for people who have had surgeries, that the message I want to take away is I'm assuming that you can rewire and or reconstitute flow again after that, but it might be different than it was before. Is that true? Like if there is scar tissue or something like that?
Yeah. So we used to think that that lymphatic vessels, which absolutely do grow back after they've been severed,
right,
Good. Yeah, regeneration. I think it, yeah, lymph angiogenesis is what it's called. So
Genesis, they do, too. Love it.
Yeah, yes. They do come back, but there's, we thought that they didn't exist in scar tissue, but now, thanks to more scientific research about the lymphatic system, we do know that lymphatic vessels can pass through scar tissue, but obviously it's not going to be the amount that it was before. Sure. But the message and the takeaway is that it doesn't matter how old a scar is. It doesn't matter how limiting the movement is. If you've got blood and lymph in that area, which you probably do, that it can always be better. So that's, I do a lot of scar tissue work, and that's part of like that myofascial release, is kind of, where is this scar tethering and impacting somebody's movement or their lymphatic flow? And how can we like unjam that?
100%. And I'm going to ask you what I think might be a triggering question, but the reason I'm asking is because it's triggering. Yeah. I'm going to get you bad with the trigger. How, when you talk about form, when you talk about fascia, when you talk about holding on to things, how does weight play into the kind of conversation for you when it comes to all of this? Like, with extreme sensitivity, obviously, as I know you'll always take, and you are like very anti-diet culture and very, you know, like, I don't know, normal, I guess, like you obviously are. But I do want to talk about how form, fascia, and our lymph fluid and feeling like we're retaining too much fluid and all of these things kind of play into weight and what you've seen in your work and how you kind of navigate these different worlds. Because I'm sure you get questions about weight all the time, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the lymphatic system in the gastrointestinal tract like transports digestive fats from our food to the liver, like we talked about earlier. And so there are fats in our lymphatic fluid that's floating around. And again, when people's body, they're not able to detox as well, they're not moving their lymph as well, it really changes the viscosity of the lymph and it becomes a little bit thicker. It has like a viscosity to it already, but it almost gets to just almost like a mucousy viscosity. And so it just makes it really hard for our body to heal in that type of environment. But obviously I try to meet people where they are, and it's always a process, you know?
So. Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of times people say, they'll go to doctors or dietitians, and the dietitians will say, you can't lose weight until you release your trauma or something. You have to go to a trauma therapist instead or something like that. I think there's probably some interplay here with that viscosity and with the body holding on to fluid or holding on to weight. What can influence the viscosity of that? I know you mentioned some things, but what can influence stagnation in our lymph fluid or viscosity?
Well, it just goes back to the functionality of our detox organs, the toxic burden that our body's under, and then those environmental things like getting natural sunlight and how we manage our stress and what we're eating. It's and how much sleep we're getting. It's like
it's the same normal stuff.
It's so interesting because it really is like it's the foundational shit that's going to heal your lymphatic system beyond like dry brushing. Like dry brushing is, it's so superficial. Like it's literally superficial.
It's on your skin. Exactly.
It just moves the lymph that sits just beneath the surface of the skin. It doesn't do anything for our deep lymphatic structures because we have a superficial lymphatic system and we have a deep lymphatic system. And so, you know, when we're stressed, we're just breathing really shallowly and we're forgetting to breathe. And then there goes our pump. There goes our one pump for the lymphatic system, or the main pump, not the one pump, but the main.
And also just saying that sentence alone, that like movement and breath as being a part of your actual life all day is going to influence you a lot more than if you take 15 minutes and do some dry brushing or something like that, where that's nice, but it's never the sprinkles on top of the ice cream that makes the difference. It's always the base. Like it always has to be those foundations. And it's funny because no matter what, anytime I bring an awesome practitioner on the podcast, which is every practitioner, because I would never have anyone on who's not awesome, but you all always say the same thing, which is that it's the acts of being human. It's the acts of being alive that make the biggest difference versus the fancy supplements you take versus
the doing.
All those different things.
It's the being versus the doing, for sure.
Do you believe in any of those lymph supplements as a sprinkle approach? Like lymph, I know like Cellcore is like lymphactive, but there are lymph, how do you feel about any?
I take the biotoxin as needed, the biotoxin by Cell Core, I try not to shill that stuff on people because they see that on like every other.
It's also very
like health and wellness influencer account out there. So I don't need to add to the noise.
100%. So there are some that can, everything we're talking about is just adding some facilitation. There are things that are real to facilitate, but at the base of things, you have to be a person still. You still have to be a person before you add the fun stuff on top. I will also say that, not speaking specifically about one company or another, but any kind of intense detoxifiers, if you don't have that basis and foundation to be able to detox or drain, it's like you can't drain if you can't detox, and you can't detox if you can't drain. And you kind of have to have everything in place in order to move forward. And most people are just jumping into heavy duty supplements and really not understanding what the downstream effects of that are.
Yeah. And they're so expensive, but also like plants, back to we are nature and nature knows best. Like, plants are really helpful. And there's so many herbs out there, like calendula. I love calendula. Cleavers grow in most places and they're considered a weed. Like, they only come around twice a year, I think, in like the spring and the fall. But they're just, man, like sometimes they grow in my backyard. It's called Velcro grass. And I'll juice it. I'll muddle it. I'll add some lemon and some honey and then strain it. And I share recipes like that sometimes because it's important to remember, like, oh, okay, like I can just get some cleavers or some red clover or some calendula. I'm gonna massage my body with calendula oil instead of like Neutrogena or whatever. It's like whatever we're putting on our skin is definitely gonna, you know, it's going to get nice and absorbed in there. So it better be good.
Exactly. So I also want to talk about a practice that I have is I do Abhyanga, which is oil massage, an Ayurvedic method. How do you feel about oils on the skin? And let's talk about castor oil too. I know this is so popular now. People are putting it in their eyes. They're putting it everywhere. They're very excited. I know, exactly. People
not
are very excited about castor oil.
Not familiar with the eye wash.
Actually, this is something that many ophthalmologists actually sign off on too. It's been used for a very long time, but I'm also like, this is a nutrition podcast and also this is not medical or nutrition advice, but castor oil has really made its way into the mainstream. I think in some ways, joyously, Abhyanga has also made its way. Tell us about how you feel like oils versus lotions and all those things on the skin and how they influence our lymph and our movement.
Well, I think first and foremost, the act of putting something on your skin is probably going to do more for your lymph versus like the thing that you're putting on. Obviously, we want these things to be as clean as possible with as few, you know, shit that isn't good for us, which the list is an eternal list, and we just keep adding to it instead of taking away.
Yeah,
but it really is like, you know, the mushing and squishing of putting something on that really helps. And I've kind of had like some skin issues just as I age. I'm 38 and experiencing like some dry skin and some like hormonal stuff when I came off birth control a couple years ago. Sure. And I was doing some oil cleansing that was really helpful for my skin, but apparently it's not ideal for all skin types. So oil can be really heavy and it can clog people's pores or somebody, you know, their skin might drink it up. So
absolutely,
I'm all for it, you know, versus lotion. If somebody has to use lotion, it really is just like how you put it on. I tell people to be lymph-tensional.
I love being lymph-tensional. I love that so much. And I also think it's very funny how controversial it seems to put oil on your skin when we're used to putting lotion, which like there's no components of lotion that exist within our body. But of course, our body is like oil and water and all these things that like, you know, our hair gets greasy. Like we're releasing oils and all these things. Do you find castor oil effective for supporting detoxification or drainage? Is it something you use in your practice?
So I don't use castor oil in my practice, but it is something that I recommend for people sometimes. I will do an occasional castor oil pack, and I'll usually kind of couple that biotoxin from Cell Core,
nice.
I do that, just to sort of like, I need a little support. But it is, I understand like why people don't use them or aren't consistent because it is so messy.
Exactly.
It's good to get like a good castor oil pack. Like I see like flannel handmade ones on Etsy that have like a flaxseed heating pad that fits right in there. So you could do like heat and castor oil with, you know, a homemade castor oil pack that you can wash that you'll have forever. It might be $80, but you'll have it forever. Totally. And the straps that kind of go on there, they really reduce that like messiness so that it is a little bit more accessible. But in terms of accessibility, you could use like old t-shirts.
An old t-shirt, literally anything.
Yeah.
You also feel like, so this is an interesting question. Lymph fluid can be moved through movement, and it also can be moved through anything that can, like, there's catalysts for it, right? Like, and anything that influences the viscosity to make it more dilated. So it's not only that you have to move it manually, you can almost, this is a weird thing to say, but your mind can move it too, because your nervous system influences it. So really, you don't have to only do dry brushing, like you said, or those superficial things. Anything that's helping to support the body not being in stagnation in a metaphoric way or a physical way is going to help move the lymph too.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I call people like lymph Jedi sometimes. And I'm like, if you want to become a lymph Jedi, that nervous system component is part of that. It's like, yeah, lymph mind control is pretty cool.
I love that too.
But yeah, gravity, we haven't really talked about like legs up the wall or rebounding. Both those things are really great for our lymph, and it's sort of an external thing that's happening.
What would you, as a lymph specialist, the queen of lymph, as I might say, what would you never do on a daily basis? Like, what do you feel like are the things that people are doing that might be really harming them that are maybe unconscious? It could be just literally sitting all day or sitting in stress. Is there anything that you would be like, I just definitely would not recommend that? It also could be a drastic thing that you don't think is safe or something.
Yeah. Well, I think people try to go big, right? To sort of like make up for the things that they're not doing. So I find that people will often try to like habit stack as many things as they can. So something as simple as like dry brushing, for instance, people will sometimes couple those with like a hot shower or a hot bath or a infrared sauna. And, you know, the physiological changes that occur when there's temperature change, whether it's too hot or too cold, it'll kind of cause the lymphatic vessels to spasm a little bit. So it kind of slows our lymph down. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. Like it's just interesting to see people kind of pair these things together. So if you're going to dry brush, you know, before a shower, which is totally fine, I would just say alternate between hot and cold. If you're going to dry brush when you're doing it like an infrared session that day, maybe dry brush before, like way before or after, way after, you know, when I say way after, I mean like 5 minutes, but not just like get out and like start going. And then, yeah, you're right about the sitting.
Right.
You're right about the sitting. That's exactly. Another big one.
It's just like with anything else with our health, not applying, don't go from 0 to 100. Don't apply too much force because there's always a rebound effect in the body. Anything you apply force will come back with you with an opposing force. So always going gentle and slow. And then I guess the other kind of last question I have for you too, before we talk about how these amazing people can work with the amazing Leah, is when you kind of think back on your journey of going through traditional massage and things like that, do you feel like there's both a place for traditional massage and lymphatic massage, or are you like all in on lymphatics and you're like, this is what massage is supposed to be about? Like, how do you feel about that?
Oh, that's so interesting. Because I mean, I love the lymphatic stuff so much that I'm like, oh, it feels like just a higher rung than traditional massage.
How I feel.
But just like a deeper, more meaningful approach to the body is always the goal, or it should always be the goal. So I did feel like my work was, while impactful and helpful for pain relief and moving better and, you know, a good rush of hormones and really calming for the nervous system. Like, yes, there's so many benefits to traditional massage, and it's totally fine if that there isn't a lymphatic component. I would never say that there's not enough benefits for traditional massage that people should forego doing them.
So dangerous. Right. It's not dangerous or anything to majoritatively, you know, or anything like that. Yeah. Yeah.
But they are very different things. And the lymphatic aspect, it really has to come. The the massage therapist, like if they're going to do it, they really need the training to do it. Otherwise, they're going to try to do it. They're going to think they're doing it and they're not doing it. You either you're doing it or you're not doing it.
Exactly. So, right. They might be doing some energy exchange or they might be doing something, but they're not doing it. You're either accessing the fluid and moving it or you're not. I mean, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's easy. It's very easy to do, but it is very, it's very specialized. Like it's a very precise technique. So it's just like, you know, I recall like one of the first sessions that I did where I asked my friend who's certified, I had a client that had knee surgery and they had swelling in their knee. And I was just like, can you like send me some videos or like tell me what to do? I'm trying to like drain this fluid. And I worked with that client, probably like 3 or 4 times. And I just knew that I wasn't doing it. Like I knew I wasn't doing it. I was trying. I was copying the things that I was looking at on the screen because you're like, damn, that's easy. Anybody could do that. But I didn't understand the anatomy or physiology of the lymphatics. And that component like adds something else.
Typical massage is working with musculature normally. I mean, that's the difference, is that it's working with the fluid or the muscle. It's like a little bit, I'm assuming it has different targets, but I do feel I'm pretty biased, but I do feel like I feel very different after a lymphatic massage versus a massage. And I often feel very sore after a kind of classical massage, but I don't feel that way after a lymphatic massage, even though you guys go to town. You're getting in there. Like I feel like the lymphatic massages I've had, it's gentle, but you're moving things. Like things are really happening, but I don't feel like I have the same level of like soreness. And maybe just because I have a hypermobile body, but so massages are not always safe for me, but lymphatic massages do feel a little more safe for me and more helpful, to be honest with you. That's just in full transparency.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I do both. I feel like I use like an integrative approach. So I'll sort of flip flop back and forth between working with the muscles and the fascia and the tendons and the joints, and then creating space and opportunity for that lymphatic flow to occur like more optimally. So we really need, I think that we need both traditional and lymphatic. And I think that it should be mandatory for every massage therapist to know how to do it.
That's my goal. Exactly. That's your only, it's just a big system-wide change to change like billions, like, I don't know, millions and millions of people. It's fine. It'll be easy for you. It's for you, Leah. You got this. All right. How can these people who are going to be thirsty for more Leah time find you, work with you? Tell us all the ways that they can sign up to work with you and move forward in their Lymph Jedi ways.
Yes. Well, if you're in Austin, Texas, you can come see us in person at Align Massage and Lymphatics. We're located in the medical district in Central Austin. And also, if you want to get your lymph learn on online, because it's 2023, baby, you can do that. I've got courses. I'm not wearing my lymph suit today, as you can see, but I actually wear a lymphatic system suit that I made to sort of show you guys like where this stuff is, what we're targeting. There's anatomy and physiology. There's a little section on fascia and how to kind of hack that a little bit. And then just like some lifestyle support things. So I've got like a large course that is, I feel like Lymph 101, you know, full body lymphatic drainage with special attention to the head and neck and the abdomen, because those are the most important areas to focus on. And then I have a smaller course that's really designed for people that are experiencing pelvic pain. A lot of the clients that we see, they have endometriosis or fibroids, or they've got gut stuff. Anything that's happening in your abdominal compartment, your pelvic bowl, there's so many lymph nodes there. And so this course is like a little bit smaller, a little more targeted. There's still anatomy and physiology, but it's really just the lymphatic drainage for the pelvis and the abdomen. So pick your poison, you know, 5.5 hours. You got 5.5 hours, you got 90 minutes. I've got those, and we'll be rolling out some new courses at the end of the year that are a little bit shorter and more easily digestible. And yeah, I don't know. Someday we'll do some virtual like one-on-one stuff. But
oh, that's awesome. But it's
still learning, how to help people in that virtual setting. Like, I can meet with somebody just as we're meeting now, and I can show people how to do stuff. But it's like there is an intake process to get people's health history.
It's physical practice. It's a very manual physical practice. Again, and you also are, there is a huge energy exchange that's happening from a physical standpoint. I always said I was lucky to be a dietitian who can see clients virtually, because the only thing I need is them and speaking. And I also intuit a little bit in the sessions too. So I'll be like, ooh, I feel burning in your chest. Are you feeling reflux? Like, what, are, you know, like I can feel those things, but you, your hands are like your weapon, you know, like that's that you really do have to be with people. But I, it sounds like your courses like Lymph Love Club, which of course we're going to put all the links to everything in the show notes that you'll see below. But those are more to teach people how to self heal and self manipulate, it sounds like, versus the work that you do is the hands-on work, which I totally understand. And there's a huge need for.
Yeah. Yeah. Self-lymphatic drainage, it feels really confusing because everybody, this is the information age. Everybody wants to share what they know, their version of what they saw. And once somebody is, you know, posting something a little bit off because they're not super familiar with what they're doing in the first place, it just, it spreads so quickly and it's so hard to get like good information. 100%. Where it's like, where it's right. And it's not even about being like right or wrong. It's just, it goes back to like massage therapists, like trying to do it when they don't have the training. It's like, we're either doing it or we're not doing it. It's not hard, but you really have to take the time to learn it. And then it just opens up all these amazing portals to healing that we didn't even know were possible because this system is just so cool.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think saying that lymph is mysterious or it's different for everyone is misleading, and it's also a cop out because it is scientific, it is factual, and you can feel it and you can test it and you can do all these things. That testing is a little hard, but there are ways to understand what's going on. There's assessments and everything like that. So I think that people who are like, everything is lymphatic drainage, and it's like, no, it's not. Everything is not lymphatic drainage. Like massage is not lymphatic drainage, you know, all of these things. So I think it is a very hot space right now with gua sha especially, and it's become very a thing, lymphatic drainage and drainage in general, that is deeply misunderstood. So I'm just so glad that we went to the ultimate basic level in this for people to understand, so that they also, when they're learning information, will understand, does this align with that basic understanding that we have about this?
Yeah. Yeah. Is that $100 tool like really going to do the thing that it says it does? And do I even need that fucking tool?
Exactly. When you have like your hands, that might actually be as effective or not more effective, and you can do it home. But we do have to learn it. Like, it's not something where you're just like, let me buy one of those tools. Even just buying one of those tools, you still could be going in the wrong direction, not applying the right amount of pressure. Like, it is, it's not completely innate. Like, it is something that you actually have to learn. And I like that you said that too, versus the massage, where it's like, it's not just happening. It's either happening or it's not happening.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens naturally, but it's like, if you're really going to do it and boost that fluid return back into the cardiovascular system and help your body make more lymphatic fluid, you know, there's just like a little zhuzhing that needs to happen.
Exactly. And you're the zhuzh. So thank you so freaking much for today. I feel like you myth busted, you gave us the basics, and you gave us your amazing personality. So I cannot thank you enough. And all the ways you can find Leah, aka the Lymph Love Club Queen, are going to be in the show notes too, how you can work with Leah. And I can't wait to see you in Austin in a couple months. We're going to have a ball.
Oh, I can't wait. Yes.